The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Soita Daf Ches, and we're about 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah was discussing the latter part of the process of the Safik Soita, who's in the Mokum HaMikdash. She's now in front of the Kehanim. And the Kehanim, the first thing they do is they try to talk her out of drinking from the Mei Soita. They tell her that don't be embarrassed to admit in the event that you actually did an Avera. There were greater people than you that also did similar Averas. And Hoydu Vleibush, they weren't embarrassed. They were willing to admit, to confess the Averas that they did. The Gemara mentioned the Braisa that says specifically they referenced Yehuda and Reuven. Yehuda in the context of the story of Tamar, we spoke about that in the end of yesterday's daf. Reuven in the context of the story of Bilhah. Both of them were big enough to admit the Avera that they did, and in exchange, as a reward for their admission, you see they got tremendous schar. They got schar in Olam Hazeh, they got schar in Olam Haba. So they were encouraging, giving her chizik, that in the event that you actually did the Avera, just admit that you did the Avera. You'll be usher to your husband, obviously. You'll go your own way, but at least we'll be able to prevent this scene from taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. She'll save her life. We'll prevent the Mechikas Hashem. So that's what they were trying to encourage to do. So we're in the middle of that Gemara where they tell her that both Yehuda and Reuven were not embarrassed to admit. So in that same vein, you shouldn't be embarrassed to admit the Avera that you did as well. The Gemara said that they told her that Yehuda and Reuven both got tremendous schar. They got schar in the world to come, nachlu chayei olam haba, and in this world they got schar as well. What was the schar? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Iyev, lehem levada nitna ha'aretz, that they themselves, only they, somehow inherited the land. Now, it's not true. Not only Yehuda and Reuven got the land, all the Shvatim got the land. So Rashi says, what does it mean, lohem levada nitna ha'aretz? Says Rashi, Reuven natal chelek tchilo be'eretz be'evra yarden. Reuven was the first one of the Shvatim to inherit the land. Reuven yarshined evra yarden, not just Reuven. It was Reuven, God, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. It seems a little bit from Rashi that Reuven was the one who came first. He was the first one of the Shvatim to be Yerush Eretz Yisrael, albeit Me'evra Yarden, and that's where it was Neskayim, Lahem Levad Nit Naharetz, a Chiddush in this Gemara that it was somehow a reward for the fact that he was not embarrassed and he admit the Averi that he did with Bilhah. Where do you find that Yehuda was Lahem Levada Nitna Aretz? So Rashi says, Yehuda Zachal Malchus. Yehuda became the Melech. Where do you see from the fact that Yehuda was a Melech that Lahem Levada Nitna Aretz? So Dovi gave me yesterday, Reb Yitzchak Suratsky and Shlita Seifa, Masachta Soita, the Gvuras Yitzchak. And he's Mitzayin, a Rambam in Perek Dal with Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam's discussing different rights that the Melech had. One of the halachas, one of the rights that the Melech had, says the Rambam, V'loikeya chasodois v'hazesim v'akromim la'avodov kishayelchu l'mulchamo. That when the king went to war, there were certain rights. He was able to confiscate land from the people. He was able to take it for himself. Shenemar v'esodoiseichem v'eskarmeichem v'zeiseichem atoivim yikach v'nosan la'avodov. So the Melech has a koyach, he has a right to take land. It's what we know today as eminent domain. That was something that the Melech had a right to do. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, that's the pshat. Yehuda became Melech as a result of the fact that he became Melech. It was Neskayim, this pasuk of Lohem Levadom Nitna Ha'aretz, because there's a special Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael that the Melech has. In addition to all the schusim that he has, he's also allowed to take land wherever he wants. So Reuven was Lohem Levadom Nitna Ha'aretz. He was the first one to Yarshin. Yehuda also was Lehem Levad Nitin Aretz. He was the Melech, and the Melech has specific rights. Either way, they're trying to give her chizik, and that's why they mention the story of Yehuda and the story of Freit Gemar. Bishlam be Yehuda, Ashkechon da Oidi. We know that by Yehuda, it's a pasuk in the Torah that he was moida the avera that he did with Tamar. The chesiva yaki Yehuda vayomer tzadka mimeni. As Tamar is about to be killed, she takes out the mashkin and she says, "You want to know who was boil with me? It's the owner of these items." Yehuda finds out about it, and he steps forward. He says, "Tzotkei men eli Reuven min alon da oidi." Would you find anywhere that Reuven admitted his averot? Amr Shmuel Melech Meni Amr Yechin. Amay Dechse. What's pshat in the pasuk? Yichi Reuven va'al yomos. So the entire pasuk is Yichi Reuven va'al yomos v'hi mesav mispar v'zois li Yehuda va'yoy mashmar Hashem kol Yehuda v'al amav tivienu yod of ravloi ve'ezer mitzarav tia. This is of leaning on Simchas Torah fame. So Yechi Ruven Vayomais, what's pshat in the pasuk? V'zayis liyuda kolosim shana shayisrob midbar. The 40 years that the Yidden were in the midbar, hayu atzmaisav shal Yehudim megugolim ba'ar. So when the Yidden came into the midbar on their way into Eretz Yisrael, they took the bones of the shvatim. We're familiar with the atzmis Yosef, but it wasn't just the atzmis Yosef. It was really the bones of all the shvatim that were with the Yidden in the midbar. They were brought up to Eretz Yisrael for kfura. But when Yehuda's bones were in the Aroin, in the Midbar, they were Megugolim Ba'arin. They were not at peace. And this, as we'll see in a moment, was symbolic of the fact that Yehuda, in the world to come, in the Olam HaEmes, wasn't at peace either. Ad She'amad Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu was aware of the fact that Yehuda's bones were Megugolim Ba'arin. So he got up, Ubikesh Olav Rachamim, and he davened on behalf of Yehuda. Omar Lefonav, he turns to Hashem, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Mi Garam LeRuven Shehoida? Who caused Ruven to admit the Aveira that he did with Bila? It's Yehuda. It was certainly Yehuda. So v'zoisli Yehuda. So how could it be then that Reuven is forgiven for his Avera, and Reuven has peace in the world to come? His atzomais are not rolling in the Aron, and Yehuda's are Megugolim Ba'arin. If the whole reason that Reuven is where he is as a result of Yehuda, how could it be then that Yehuda should be in a lesser place than Reuven? Miyad Shem Hashem Kol Yehuda. Hashem heard the tefillah of Moshe and all Evorei L'Shafa, and the bones stopped rattling, they went back into its place. However, although he had peace in this world, in the Aron, but in Shemayim he still didn't have peace. They didn't allow him into the Beis Medrash to be able to learn up in Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu continued his tefillah. He said, Vel amoy tivyenu. That tefillah was answered. However, so he was sitting in Beis Medrash, but he couldn't say a svara. He couldn't participate in the learning. Yod of Ravloi, so Moshe said a final tefillah, Yod of Ravloi, and he was able to say a svara. However, but he wasn't mechavin to the emes. So said the Ezim Mitzarev Tiyah, and once Moshe Rabbeinu said the Ezim Mitzarev Tiyah, not only did Yehuda's bones stop rattling in the Aron, not only was he allowed into the Masifta Derekia, he was able to say a Sfara, and he was even able to get it right. This is the story of Yehuda. But what do you see from this Gemara? That not only was Yehuda Moida to the Aver that he did when he said Satkim Imeni, that's a pasuk in the Torah, but what caused Yehuda to do what he did, it was all Reuven. Yechi Reuven va'al yomos. So you see from there that Reuven was admitted his Avera as well. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yehuda da'idi Bishlam, I understand why Yehuda was Moida ki hechad le tesarif, to prove Tamar, so that Tamar shouldn't die. We understand why he admitted the Avera that he did. Ela Reuven lamali da'idi, why was Reuven Moida? Vamar Rav Sheshes, didn't Rav Sheshes say, Chatzifa lai bar Yisrael de mafet chate, that a person who doesn't have Avera, and then he goes out, Barabim, and he publicizes the Avera that he did, it's a very bad thing. It's a chutzpah for a person to do that. So what motivation did Reuven have to walk around telling people that he did the Avera with Bila? What would be the point of doing that? Yehuda had a point. The point was save Tamar's life. But what was Reuven's point, says the Gemara? The reason he did it was, is because apparently people knew that one of the brothers had done this Avera. They didn't know who. So Reuven said, it was me, don't be choshed, my brothers. And there was a very noble reason for him admitting his Avera, and that's why he did it. Either way, so you see from this Gemara that Yehuda admitted the Avera that he did. Reuven admitted the Avera that he did. It was Yehuda that gave Reuven the impetus to admit his Avera. He saw that Yehuda had the courage to step forward. So it's for that reason that Reuven stepped forward as well. And this is something that saved Yehuda in the Olam HaEmes. Because Yehuda was not at peace. Atzmoisav with Megugolim Ba'arin. They didn't allow him into the Masifta Derekia. He needed a tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu in order to have peace in the world to come. What ultimately saved the day for Yehuda? It was the fact that he was the cause for Reuven to be able to enter the Olam HaEmes at peace. And if Reuven's only there because of Yehuda, it's not possible then that Yehuda should be any worse than Reuven, which is an unbelievable svara. Reuven is the reason. Reuven is only in Olam HaEmes because of Yehuda. So it can't be then that Reuven should be better off than Yehuda. I think a very obvious tushtel to this Gemara is another Gemara in the end of Masechtas Yuma. The Gemara says, Kol HaMachti Asar Rabim, someone that causes many people to do Averis, Kemat Ema Speak and Biyodei Lasa Shuvah. It's almost impossible for this person to ever do Shuvah. It's very bad to not just do an Averis, but to cause other people to do Averis. Kol HaMazak Asar Rabim, someone that brings Schus to other people, he causes other people to do good things, Ein Chet Ba'al Yodei. He has a special special shmira, a special protection from doing averus. My time, says the Gemara, because this person has talmidim that are doing wonderful things all over the world. As a result of all the wonderful things they're doing, they're going to be in Gan Eden. If the Rebbe himself is going to be nichshol in Avera, he's going to end up in Gehenim. How's it going to look? The Talmidim are in Gan Eden, and he's in Gehenim? It can't be. It doesn't make sense, such a thing. As a result, that's this idea. Yehuda was Mezaka Ruvain. As a result, from the fact that Ruvain was in Gan Eden, Yehuda had to be in Gan Eden as well. That was Moshe's Tefillah, and as you see, that Moshe's Tefillah was Neskabel. One final point, Rav Sheshet said, somebody that goes in and he discusses, he delineates the averus that he did, it's a very big chutzpah. It's not something that you're supposed to. You did an avera, so be humble about it. You shouldn't be walking around telling people about it. What's the svara? Rashi says, because nira she'ine nichlam bedavar. Because this person is showing as if he's not embarrassed. The fact that you're walking around talking about your averus shows you're not embarrassed about it, and that's why it's a chutzpah. The person did an avera memelo. But at the very least, you should be humble about it. You should be embarrassed about it. There's a toisvis in the end of the fifth parak in Masechtas Brachos, daf lamed alam beis, the last toisvis. The Gemara over there also mentions this idea, that someone who walks around telling people's averus, it's a very big chutzpah. Tosfos says the same svara as Rashi said over here. It's related to the fact that by you talking about your averus, you're showing you're not embarrassed. But Tosfos backs up this svara with the Gemara. And it's the Gemara Masechtas Brachos also, daf yud beis amid beis. Tosfos has a little bit of a different girsa than we have in our Gemara, daf yud beis amid beis. But Tosfos' girsa is a fascinating girsa. Kol oise dover u'misbayesh, someone who does an avera and he's embarrassed about the avera that he did, moichlin loy miyad. So it's very difficult for a person to get kapara for avera that he did. You have dalet chalkei tshuva. And in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam says that actually Yeyadol of Yedeya Taluma is not so simple for a person to do Tshuva, for his Tshuvas to be accepted. You need Tefillah sometimes for a person's Tshuva to be accepted. But here you have a Gemara that says there's a way for a person to do an Avera and not only get Mechila, but Moichlim Loi Miyad. What is that? If you're embarrassed. Person does an Avera and he's embarrassed. There's an element of Busha that he has as a result of the Avera that he did. That's a cause for him to have Mechilas Avonis. It's for that reason that Rav Kahana said that someone that talks about his Averas, it's a bad thing. Because if you're talking about your Avera, you heard what I did? That shows you're not embarrassed. If you're not embarrassed about it, you're losing out on this idea of Koloisa Dovru Mispayish Moichlin Loimiyah. Either way, just another nice muster, another nice idea to take out of this Gemara. So the Mishnah said, Imamra Tmeyani, so if she succumbed to the pressure of the Kayhanim, and she admit, she said, you're right, when I was Nistera, employee, I did an Avera. Sheveres Ksubasa, says the Mishnah, they took her Ksuba, and Sheveres is Ksuba. Now, literally, what does that mean? Sheveres is Miloshin Shever. She forfeited her Ksuba, because an HS Ish, that's Mezana Tachas Baiva, loses that on her Ksuba. So they took a receipt, they wrote up a receipt, they gave it to the husband, so that if later she's going to come and claim her Ksuba, he'll be able to pull out, no, it's not true, you don't get your Ksuba. I have a receipt here that says that because you admit on this and that day that you did an Avera, it's for that reason you forfeited your right to your Ksuba. Says the Gemara, Shami Minok Kaisen Shaiver. Should we bring a Rai from here, Kaisen Shaiver? If you recall from Masechtas Ksubas, it's Machloikis that permeates the entire Masechta. Whether Kaisvin Shaver or ain't Kaisvin Shaver. And it has implications not only in Hilchas Ishtos regarding Ksuba, but even in Hilchas Malva Valoiva with all Chayvis. Anytime Ruvain lends Shimon money, so Ruvain now has a Shtar Chayv that says, you loan me money. What happens if the Malva loses his Shtar Chayv? Can we say that even though you lost your shtar chayv, still I can force you to take a shayver, which means that you may lose out at some point or not? That's the machlokes kaisen and shayver. But either way, should we bring a raya now from this mishnah that kaisen and shayver? Amar Abaye tani mikaras. No, maybe the word shayveris was lavdafka, but rather mikaras means if she had her ksuba, we ripped up the ksuba. But we're not going to allow her to keep the ksuba and force the husband to have to hold on to the shayver. It's not what we're going to do. Amalei rabava shayveris ktani, but it's not what the mishnah says. It's very nice. It would be very nice if the Mishnah said Mikaras, but the Mishnah says Sheveres, Alomarova, but Mokin Kaisvin Kshubak, you're right. Really, the Mishnah says Sheveres, which implies that they did write a Shefer. Is then not a Raya Kaisvin Shever? No, maybe we're talking about places where they didn't write Ksubas. There were places where they didn't write the Ksuba, it was a Tanai Bezin, so it was an effect whether they wrote it or didn't write it. A place where they didn't write a Ksuba, certainly Kaisvin Shever, but you have no Raya from the Mishnah, Kaisvin Shever, even Bemokoim, She Kaisvin Ksuba. What if she says, no, I'm Tahira? So she listens to the plea of the Sanhedrin, of the Kehanim, and she says, I hear, nice story, but I'm Tahira, I'm moving forward. So, Maglin Oysel Shara Mizrach, they would move her up, they would bring her to the Shara Mizrach. Specifically, that was the Shara Niknar, that was the eastern gate, and that's where she stood, Pesach HaYomayit, and that's where they were going to give it to drink from the Meisaita. Freit the Gemara, Maglin Oysel, they brought her up. It would seem to imply that she was going to walk up steps. She was going up. Hasam Kaima, she's there already. She was already up in the Harabayas, in the Makam HaMikdash. Where is she going? Says the Gemara, the Maskinanla, Umachtinanla, Kedeliyaga. Rashi says, Machtinanla Mikol Harabayas. They would take her down from the Harabayas, bring her back up again. These were interrogation tactics. They're trying to confuse her and shake her up a little bit so that we can maybe get her to confess the Avera in the event that she did the Avera, the Tanya, and we find a similar idea in a Bryce. We had in the mission that the Edim that were coming to testify about Dine Nefashis causing somebody to die, so them too, they would be Ma'ayim, and then we would shake them up a little bit as well. Because if they're lying, we're going to kill an innocent man. That's not something that we want to do. So one of the things they did was Masir Esa Edim Imokim Lalakim. They'd move him from this room to that room to this room. So the same idea, they took her down from the Arbayas, brought her back up again. It's all to rattle her a little bit, disorient her, so that we'll... she'll lose her defense mechanism and she'll admit in the event that she actually did the Avir. Mishnah says, Shasham Mashkin Es HaSoita. So where does she end up? She ends up at the Shara Nikna. Now she's at the eastern entrance to the Azara. That's where we are going to do this. Says the Gemara. Bishlam Es HaSoita. I understand why the Soita had to be at the Shara Nikna. It's based on a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'hemet HaKoyin Es HaIsha L'fnei Hashem. That's in the parish of Soita. That the woman had to stand L'fnei Hashem. Rashi says, "V'hua Pesach sheboy derech knisa v'yetzia l'chol boy azara." And that was the main entrance. It was the main shar that people walked to and from the azara. That is the definition of the words l'fnei Hashem. The Torah says, "Dashka asayta had to be l'fnei Hashem." That's why we put her over there. Mitzayram nami. You find the mitzayra. The tahira samitzayra also took place at that gate, and it's because of the same reason. The in the end of the pasuk is lufnei Hashem. Elo yoyledes, my time. You find that the yoyledes, a woman that had a baby, who after counting the days that she needs to count, either the 40 days or the 80 days, she had to bring a carbon. So when she brought her carbon, she too stood at the Shar Niknar. Faith the Gemara, my time. What was the reason that she stood at the Shar Niknar? There's no pasuk anywhere that says the Yoledes has to stand Lefnei Hashem, like it says by the Saita and the Mitzera. So why did the Yoledes have to stand Lefnei Hashem? Is the reason maybe Balabatish? Very simple. Because the Yoledes had to bring a carbon. She was a Mechosa Kippurim. That's why she's in the Azara. She has to bring a carbon when she completes counting her days. And there's a halacha, when a person brings a carbon, he has to stand by his carbon. There's a halacha that says, Tishmeru lahakruv libim mayadli, and we learn from there that when a person brings a carbon, the bala carbon has to stand next to his carbon. It's for that reason that there were mamodos in the times of Chazal. Just like the Leviim and the Kehanim were divided into mishmoris for the job that they did, Gemara's in the end of Masechtas Tainis, all the Yisraelim were divided into mamodos as well. What's the reason? The reason is very simple, because every day there were karbanei tzibur that were brought on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. If a karban's being brought on your behalf, you have to stand next to your karban. You couldn't have all of Klal Yisrael every day in the morning and the afternoon standing in the Azara next to the karban tamid, so that they could be mekayim this mitzvah of tishmeru lahakriv libim mayadai. So what they did was they appointed shluchim. The mamadis were the shluchim Yisrael. Their job was to stand by the carbon to be mekayim tishmeru lahakriv libim mayadai. There's an interesting beer I grew on Hilchas Mila. The Mechaber says that when you do a bris milah, so the avi haben is supposed to stand next to the moil, next to the baby, while the baby is having his bris milah. Even if he's not the moil, you're supposed to be standing there. What's the reason for it? Says the Gra, because by karbonos you find this idea of tishmeru lahakriv libim mayadai. And there are many chazals that suggest that bris milah is the equivalent of a carbon. And it's for that reason, if there's a mitzvah of tishmeru, when it comes to karbonis, that's the yesoid of the mitzvah of tishmeru when it comes to bris milah as well. But either way, it says, well, maybe that's the reason. You know why the Yoledes went to the Shar Niknar? It's very simple. She was bringing a carbon. And if she's bringing a carbon, she has to stand al karbonis. So why do you have to be in the Shaar Nichner? Because Shaar Nichner was unique, that it was purposely made in a way that it shouldn't be Kodesh. So the people that are Tomei, that have to come into the Azara, they'd be able to go to the Shaar Nichner. This Yeledes is Tomei. She's bringing a carbon because she's a Mechusi Kippurim. She needs this carbon in order to be Tar. So maybe that's the reason. But the Gemara says, if that's the reason that the Yeledes stood at the Shaar Nichner, then you should find that other Mechusrei Kapara did the same thing. And you do not find that. Says the Gemara, Eliyah, let us my time. Were they there simply to be able to stand on their carbon? And that was a place that was chayil, where they could be mekayim the mitzvah of Tishmeru. The Tanya, a carbon needs that the Baal carbon should be standing there. Then other mechuyuve carbon, other mechusri kapara should have the same halacha. So the Gemara says it's true. Enochinami, they do. Why does it only say Yeledes? The Tana only mentioned one example, but really, Enochinami, anyone that's a mechusri Kippurim would stand at the Shaar Nichner. So the Soita, the Metzora, the Yeledes, the Zav, they all stood at the Shaar Nichner, but not all for the same reason. The Metzora and the Soita stood at the Shaar Nichner because wherever it says in the Torah Lefnei Hashem, it means the Eastern Gate, the Shaar HaMizrach, Shaar Nichner. The reason the Yeledes, the Zav, and the Zava stood at the Shaar Nichner is because it's halacha that when you bring a carbon, you have to be standing near your carbon. You had to be in a place that's close to the carbon, but at the same time in a Mokum Chayel, that was the Eastern Gate. That place wasn't a Skadish. That's why they ended up standing over there. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Mashkin Shtei Soitis Ka'achas. The halacha is that if there were two Soitis in the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, they wouldn't give them to both drink at the same time. So they wouldn't line up the Soitis. You drink, now you drink. That's not what they did. Why? Because we don't want that they should be comfortable with each other. Let's say Rachel did the Avera and Leah didn't do the Avera. So Leah's going to move forward with it and Rachel's going to say, oh, if Leah's brave enough to move forward, I'm also going to be brave enough to move forward. The difference is Leah didn't do the Avera, Rachel did do the Avera. So sometimes it's an idea of v'noistin risho zelozeh. So the two together can somehow encourage each other not to be afraid. So Kadesh Liba Gas Bechaverta, we said let each person do it individually. From an interrogation perspective, it certainly makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Loimen Hashem Muzeh, that's not the reason. Nice for it, but that's not the reason. The reason is based on a pasuk. Amakra Oisa. It says the Hishpia Oisa Hakoyen. The word Oisa, we learn from there that one at a time. It's a Lashon Yachid. Oisa Levad. Tanakama Oksiv Oisa. Why doesn't Tanakama learn it from the word Oisa? So the Gemara says Tanakama Reb Shemini. Meaning, in fact, the Tanakama does learn it from the word Oisa. So why did he give us reason? Because the Tanakama of this Braisa is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, the Darish time of the Kra, who's always Darish time of the Kra. So when he said a time, it was the time of the Kra. He knows that really it's a pasuk, and he's just saying a svara for the pasuk. He's mentioning the time of the crow. Matam kamer, matam oisa levado. Why is it one site at a time? Kiteisha libegas bichaberta. My benayil, the my nafkimina. Meaning, if Rav Shimon in this brisa is giving us the time for why one site at a time, there must be a nafkimina lahalacha, because otherwise he wouldn't give us the reason. Meaning, if I'm Derish time of the Kra, the halacha will be one way. If you're not Derish time of the Kra, the halacha will be something else. Otherwise, why talk about the time of the Kra? What is then the nafkamina, whether it's merely Oisa or it's Oisa with a time of the Kra? The nafkamina would be a woman who you see clearly, she's really afraid, she's spooked out, and it doesn't matter who's standing next to her, who's encouraging her, she's just very, very afraid of the process. So being that she's afraid, we're not worried that the other site is standing, there will be Liba Gaspa. So if it's all a svar of Kidesh Loya Liba Gaspa, which is Reises, there could be another site there at the same time. But if it's Xeris Akasiv, and we're not Deirish time of the Kra, Oisa Levada, one site at a time, it doesn't matter if she's Reises, or she gets it, she doesn't get it, it really doesn't matter. Either way, it's going to be one site at a time. Faith Gemara, Reises, me Mashkin, I understand this whole Gemara. A Braisa of Oisa Levada, Rav Shimon, who's Deirish time of the Kra, a Nafkamina of Reises. There's a more basic, a general, klolius tiga halacha that should be a reason that you shouldn't be able to give more than one site to drink at a time. What's that reason? We're not supposed to do the proverbial knock off two birds with one stone. When it comes to mitzvahs, the time we learned in the Mishnah, that was a few years ago, hey, mashkin, shtei soitis ka'achas. Yep. You ve'ein mitarin shnei mitzayroin ka'achas ve'ein roitzin shnei avodim ka'achas ve'ein orfin shnei agolis ka'achas. This has nothing to do with oisa. This is something that's negay many different parashias and shas. Lefishay noisim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So you never do two mitzvahs at the same time. So if you never do two mitzvahs at the same time, and one of the things mentioned here is ein mashkin shnei soitas ka'achas. So what do we get involved in here? Oisa tyrant. time of the crush, like libe gas bechaverta. It's a more general halacha. Einoise mitzvos chavilus chavilus amar abayo v'teimer rav kahana loy kasha kan bekoyin echod kan. How to understand the Gemara's teretz? Rashi and Tosfos here both say, "Can be koyin echad if it's one koyin doing everything." So there's one koyin doing the mitzvah. So you don't want him to knock off these two soitas at the same time. Thus, einois and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas would be a svar. But if there's two koyhanim, you don't have a svar of einois and mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. It's for that case where you need Oysa and Reb Shimon's time at the Krah to tell me that even if it's two Kehanim and you don't have the Svar of an Oysa Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas, still a Mashkin Shtei Soites B'Vazachas. The Rambam, however, is a little bit ambiguous. And the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Mem Zayin says that he believes the Rambam had a Faker Tipshat than the way Rashi and Tosfos learned the Gemara. Kan b'koyin echad, it's not a problem. There's no svar of ein oisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And it's there that we need oisa and Reb Shimon's time of the Krah. It's davka b'shnei koyhanim, where you have this svar of ein oisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. It's hepech ha-svar. Why would you say it that way? Says the Magen Avraham, because the Rambam could be held that ein oisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas means that you're actually doing the two mitzvahs at the same time. It's not physically possible for one koyin to give two soitas to drink at the same time. It's just not possible. How could I do two things at the same time? What you could do it is you could have them both standing there at the same time, and you could do it in immediate succession. But for the actual two things to happen at the same exact moment is impossible. The only time it's possible for the two acts of Ashkoah Soita to actually happen at the same moment would be if there were two Kehanim, and both Kehanim were doing it at the same time. Thus, the Rambam held, they know it's a mitzvah chavilas, chavilas is davka b'shnei Kehanim, but it's koyin echad, you're not going to have the problem. Now, if you look at Tosis, second Tosis on the Yomid, Tosis is already bavarns the Shaila. That how could you have a mitzvah chavilas, chavilas with one Kehanim? You can't give them both to drink at the same time. Says Tosis, Nira lefarish, sheyamid shnei bazor b'vasachas. That in itself is already the problem. One Kehanim who's doing the job at the same time, even though the taka not going to drink at the same time, but both women are standing about to drink at the same time, that already is a chesaron in einoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Meaning Tosfos had to learn that way because it can't be the actual drinking, because it's not possible for them both to be drinking at the same time. The Rambam obviously held that both standing in the Azara, that wouldn't be enough to constitute einoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, because the mitzvah is not to just stand in the Azara. The mitzvah is to play out the entire process. That's not something that can be done. Bevas achas b'koyin echad. So what the Gemara must have meant was, is shnei koyhanim bevas achas, that's possible, where it's two koyhanim, that's where you have the chesaron of einoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. How does it come into the Magen Avraham and Simen Kuf Mem Zayin? How would it come in at Tzilchas Sefer Torah? How would it kriyas haTorah? How would it come in over there? It's the Magen Avraham says, when we take out two Sefer Torah, Tolein, say Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or Yontif, you take out two Sifrei Torah, so you take out the two Sifrei Torah, you obviously don't lame from both of them at the same time, it's one at a time, but if you go Psicha, by the Svarim, right? You take out the Gabba, you take out two Svarim. Says the Magen Avraham, that minig that we have, that we take out both Svarim at the same time, is because we paskin like the Rambam when it comes to Einoisa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. That to have two Noshim standing in the Azara, Bevas Achas, would not be a Chesaron of Einoisa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. It's only if you're actually drinking at the same time that it would be a Chesaron. But according to Tosfos, that Tosfos said, that it's Bekoyin Echad that you have Einoisa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. Now, Bekoyin Echad, where's the Bevas Achas? The fact that both Noshim are standing in the Azara, Bevas Achas, prepared to do the mitzvah of drinking the Meisaita, even though you're not actually doing the mitzvah at the same time, that's already a nice mitzvah chavilas chavilas. According to Tosfos, you shouldn't be able to have both Sifrei Torah at the same time. So the Magen Avraham says, this whole minhag we have, that we take out both Sifrei Torah at the same time, we do one psicha, it's not a psicha, put it back in, and then take out the second, I a nice mitzvah chavilas chavilas. It's all predicated on the Rambam, that being that you're not doing the actual kriya b'vas achas, even though they're both in the Beis Medrash, it's the equivalent of the two nashim being in the Azara, that would not be chesaron. And if einoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, incidentally, as far as that reason why einoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, Rashi and Tosfos both say shenirik kimisha hoyu all of the masoi umemari lefarik masoi. It looks like you're trying to knock off two birds with one stone. Meaning the mitzvah is a tircha. So if I can knock them both out, I might as well do it. That's there's a sensitivity that a person shouldn't walk around as if the mitzvah is bothersome to him and he's just trying to bang it out. That's not what you want to do. There's a Tosfos in Masechtas Ma'akot in Daf Ches Amud Beis. Tosfos is in the sugya of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, Ein Noisim Noshim B'Moyed. And Tosfos over there says that the svar of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha is related V'tam Nirik Tzas, the Kemoshe Ein Oisim Mitzvahis Chavilois Chavilois. And Tosfos gives a reason. The Be'inon She'eli by panui le mitzvah achas, v'lo yifna atzmoi heimeno, came besimcha besimcha, yili by panui besimcha. Taisa relates it to the svara of ein ma'arav and simcha besimcha. You know why ein oisim mitzvah chavilas chavilas? Because when you do a mitzvah, you have to have kavana to do the mitzvah that you're doing. And there's supposed to be a singular focus. This is the mitzvah I'm doing. I'm not thinking about anything else. Not only am I not thinking about anything else that's a davar chayil, I'm not even thinking about doing another mitzvah. This is my entire focus. And it's not possible to focus on two things at the same time. Thus, ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The Achronim have a discussion where the Tosfos svar is only true if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana. Tosfos is talking about kavanas mitzvahs, really, it's a machlekes in Shas. Mitzvah srichas kavana, or mitzvahs ein srichas kavana. It sounds like from Tosfos it could be that the whole svara of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas is only if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, which could be, would come out a very big chiddush if you hold that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, maybe the whole svara of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas would imply. I saw this from the G'dayli Achronim. Either way, two reasons for why ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Additionally, two pshatim and machlokes rishonim, how to understand kam b'koyin echad, kam b'shnei koyanim. V'koyin echad v'gadol. The koyin then grabbed onto her beged. Mishnah said, if it tore, so be it. But that's what the koyin did. Tanu rabbanon uparas oisha isha. One of the things the Kohen did was, is he uncovered this woman's hair. As we mentioned yesterday, the Gemara Masechta Tzuba says this is the makar that a married woman has to cover her hair. So you see from here that her hair had to be uncovered. How do you know that her guf had to be uncovered as well? Talmud loymar ha isha uparas roish ha isha, could have just said uparas roish isha. So from here you see that her guf was uncovered as well. Imkei ma talmud uparas roish. Then why did it say roish? Malamich a Kohen sleiser asaira, that not only did they uncover her hair, but they would unbraid her hair, unknot her hair. They would literally make sure that her hair was completely loose. There was nothing in the way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hayo Libagafri. So the Mishnah said that they would uncover her guf as well. Rabbi Yehuda said it depended. Im Hayo Libanae, Loye Hayo Migaleo. If her lave was Nae, then they wouldn't reveal it. Because they didn't want that the Kehanim should see her, says the Gemara. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is worried about the Kehanim or whoever it is in the Azara that's witnessing this. Thus, Libana and Sirena, we don't want to uncover her. Rabbana Loichaishi. Rabbana, we find Fakert. Time went to the Bryce. Ishmachasan is a paragach. We're talking about someone who was Chayef Skila. So the halacha was someone who got Skila, so they would take off the person's clothing. The person that was getting skila would be Arum. He would not be wearing any clothing. Stating that, the Mishnah says that a man, mechasen oisei perek echad mofanov, they would cover his makam ha'erva from front, the ha'isha shnei prakim, and the woman they would cover in two places, echad milfanel, the echad mi'al charev, and neshakula erva, because both front of her and the back of her are considered erva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, she was Arum, and he was Arum, with the exception of Perek Echad for the man and the Shnei Prokin for the woman. A man they would do this to, meaning they would make him Arum with the exception of Perek Echad. But the woman they wouldn't make Arum at all, because it's sensitivity. We don't want people to see her. But Freit the Gemara, you'd seem to have a stira. Now the Gemara is asking the Kashin Rabbi Yehuda that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is Chayish Lerhurhura. Rabbi Yehuda says not so pasha to just undress the Saita in the Azara. And here you see that when it comes to someone who was Chayiv Skila, they undressed this woman, and Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sensitive to what the Chachamim said, that Ish Niskal Arum, they know Ish Niskal Saruma, Amar Rabbah. You know why we're concerned over here? Because we're concerned, Rabbi Yehuda was concerned, Shemitation Vezin Zakos, then maybe this woman won't die. Maybe she's going to come out Zakos. She's going to drink and she's going to be fine. The Yiskaruba Pirche Kohuna. And the Pirche Kohuna that are in the Azara, they're going to go after her because they will have seen her Arum and that will get their Yetzirah going. But Hasam, Hakam Mistalka. But over there, this woman is dying anyway. So if she's dying, what are you worried about? And if you're going to tell me, maybe we should be concerned that somebody may see this woman who's being killed. It will be Ma'ir his Taiva. And then he'll go after another woman. Amarava, that's not something you have to worry about. Because Gemiri, the Ein Yetzirah, Shoilet, Ela B'masha Ein of Royas. So if a man sees a particular woman, Arum, that maybe will bring Lidei Avera. But because he saw one woman, that should bring him to do an Avera with another woman. That Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about. Oh, my Rava. So Rava said, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha. The Rabbana don't like Kasha. It's very nice there. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's worried in our Mishnah Masechta Saita. He's not worried about the woman that's getting skila because she's dying anyways. And in Yetzirah Shoyot of Masha in Avrois. But how are you going to answer the Kash Rabbanon and the Rabbanon? You had the same exact stira, and it's Hepech HaSvara, Kal V'Chaymer. The Rabbanon are not worried with the Saita, even though she may come out Zakos, and they are worried with the woman that's getting skila. Elo Marov. The Rabbi Yehuda, but you'd like Kasha Kedushin. The Kasha Rabbi Yehuda is not a Kasha, as we just mentioned. The Rabbanon and the Rabbanon are not like Kasha. The stira and the Rabbanon is not either a Kasha, because Hacha Taima Mai, the reason over here, we want that we should undress them is Mishum V'Nivasru Kol Hanoshim. It's so that women should come and they should see what happens to a woman that's Mazana Tachas Baila. That's why we're being menavler. We're making her disgusting. We're going through this process. But Hasam over there, in Lucha Yisur Goldamizah, by the Chavi Skila, it's not necessary. So over here, the reason they undressed this woman, they weren't concerned about her for whatever reason. That's not something that concerned them. Over here, we're undressing this woman, so all the other women that come and witness this event, they should see that if they're going to be Mizana Tachas Baila, it's just not going to have a good ending. As it relates to the Chavi Skila, there, we want to be sensitive to this woman that's getting Skila. To undress this person to add injury to insult or insult to injury in this case is not something that they felt was necessary to do, and therefore they didn't do it. Why not just do both? Why can't we just kill her and undress her as well? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravu, Amar Kra, V'ahav T'l'Riyacha Kamaycha, the Pasuk says, and we learn from there, Barar Loi Misa Yafa, that we try to give a person, even someone that's on death row, somebody that we're killing, we give this person a Misa. Says the Gemara, Lemid Rav Nachman Tanoi, it would seem that this Rav Nachman that said, Bror Loi Misa Yafa is really a Machloikis Tanam. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that has the sensitivity that you're killing her, so you shouldn't undress her as well. But Rabbi Yehuda that said that they did undress her, now he wasn't worried about her because she's dying anyways. But what about Bror Loi Misa Yafa? Why wasn't he worried about this? Is this Rabbi Nachman really telling the Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Says the Bror Loi, the Kuliyama Isl Rabbi Nachman. Could be Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Nachman. Vahacha Bahacha Mifli. Machloikis is something else. Mar Sover Bizyoyne Yodif Leitfei Mitzara de Gufe, Umar Sover Tzara de Gufe Odefle Tveim Bizyoni. Rabbi Yehuda held that it's true that by undressing this person, that Chay Misa, the woman in our case, she will be less embarrassed. She'll be embarrassed, but at the same time, you're going to cause her to die quicker because a person that got skilo and was dressed, so the clothing inhibited the person from dying to a certain extent, and it prolonged the tsar that this person got while they were dying. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with Bar Lam Yisrael Yafa. Rabbi Nachman, you're right. But why do you think it's better to have the person dressed and have to suffer a little bit longer? I think it would make more sense to undress the person and let the person die quicker. What do the Chachamim hold? No. I think a person would rather be dressed, have more tsar while they're dying, than be undressed and have to go through that embarrassment. In other words, the machloikis is, Mar Sava Bizyoyne, Odefle Tvei Mitzar de Gufe, Umar Sava Tsar de Gufe, Odefle Tvei Mitzar. But either way, they both agree that there's an idea, Brolo Misa Yafa. The machloikis is, what's the Misa Yafa? Is the Misa Yafa do it in a way that the person's going to die sooner? Or is the Misa Yafa do it in a way where the person's going to be less embarrassed? We've mentioned many times in the past that the reason two Jews sit together and they pour a glass of whiskey, what do they say? L'chaim. The reason they say L'chaim is because once upon a time when they used to give people Mises Bezdin, they would get him drunk. They would make him high so that when the person was killed, they wouldn't feel the Mises so much. It wouldn't be so painful. So that was a drink that people took L'misa. So when we sit and we drink, we say L'chaim. We're not on death row. Thank God. That's not what's going down over here. This is a drink that's L'chaim. This is not a drink that's L'misa. As it relates to V'haft L'Riyacha Kamoicha, Broadly Misa Yafa, this is a Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. And in Masechtas Ksubas, we spoke out the sheet of the Ramah, beautiful Ramah that the Shita Mekubetzes brings. V'ahavtal re'yacha, re'yacha's miloshin ra, miloshin rasha, that even a rasha is somebody that you're supposed to love. There's a mitzvah, v'ahavtal re'yacha kamoicha, even for the rasha. So this person is a rasha, he's on death row, he's about to be killed. Still there's an idea, brolei misayofa, machlekes tanam, b'zyoyne yadif, tzara, who are we talking about? We're talking about someone who's chayiv misas bezin. That means they warned him and he was matatzel misa. If a person ended up on death row with the Sanhedrin, that means he was a pretty bad guy. And still, this is a person of v'yahavta re'yacha kamoicha, re'yacha miloshen rasha, which is the chiddush, because the counterpart to v'yahavta re'yacha kamoicha, the loisa say, is loisisna sachicha b'vavecha. When it comes to loisisna sachicha b'vavecha, there we find the halacha is the opposite, that there's no isra loisisna when it comes to a rasha. It's gemara na'vei psachim, mitzvah lisnoisa, so obviously loisisna l'chud, and v'yahavta re'yacha kamoicha l'chud. The asay and the loisa say, don't follow the same gedarim, v'yahavta re'yacha, re'yachas miloshen Russia, loisisna es achicha. Achicha means somebody already that does mitzvahs. But either way, that's this idea of brod loimisayafa. Just one interesting, we may fall behind there and drop, but one interesting tshuva from the Minchas Aluza, the Minka Chereba. It's a chela gimel simen chafe. The entire tshuva is a very, very interesting tshuva. He talks about what at the time was modern technology, and that was the record player. And he talks about somebody that has a restaurant, and they play music, and the music that they play over there has chazonishim music, that was very in style back in the day, and the chazonim are saying brachas or tefillahs, and the question was, can I turn on a record that's going to cause a record to play a bracha that somebody once said, is that usher because you're making a bracha shein etzricha, you be maske shein shomai levatal? That's the beginning of the tshuva. So he goes and he jumps from technology to technology, and at the end, agav urchi, he says something very interesting. He says that we're on the topic of kol b'isha erva, that's where the tshuva ends. So he says on that note of kol b'isha erva, I want to mention something very interesting that I saw from the Ari HaKadosh. He says that Rizal said, the Pasuk says, Vayas es hakir nechoshes b'maroi satsoivos. We know that the kir was made from mirrors. Kir was all mirrors. Says the Ari HaKadosh, that when a person used to bring a carbon, the kohen that was bringing the carbon would look the bala carbon in the eye, and he would be able to see in the shteren of the bala carbon in his forehead, he would be able to see the avera that he did, how he did the avera, what kind of machshavas he had while he did the avera, so that when the kohen brought the carbon on behalf of this bala carbon, he would be misakin all the tikkunim that had to happen. Said the Arizal, that was something that he only did when it was a man that was bringing the carbon. A man that was bringing a carbon, the kohen looked the man in the eye. But if a woman was bringing a carbon, he couldn't look the woman in the eye. So what he would do is they would stand by the kir, he would look in the mirror, the maris at service of the kir, the woman would be standing behind him, and through the reflection of the mirror on the kir, he would be able to see this woman, thus he'd be able to look at her forehead, and that's how he'd be able to know exactly what happened. Says the Arizal, says the Minchas Alasa, it's poshet to him. It's poshet to him that the reason the kohen couldn't look this woman in the eye is not because we were concerned that maybe if he looks at her, it's going to bring him lidei hirur, it may bring him to do an avera. And his lashon is the ein yetzahara shoylet b'makom hakodesh makom hashoyes hashchina. That's what the Minchas Alasa says. It's not possible that the Yetzirah would be shoylet for the Kayin, b'mokim ha'shoyes ha'shchina. He says, you're going to ask me a kasha, soite davches, v'yiskeru ba'pirchei kuhuna. You have a whole discussion about the pirchei kuhuna. He says, no, look at the Gemara. The Gemara says that we're worried that she may come out zakayis, and when the pirchei kuhuna leave, ben astarim, that's what you're worried about. She's not going to be in mispanish anymore. You're not going to be in the asarah. That's when something may go down. But in the mokim ha'mikdash, there's no way in the world that there'll be any hirurim. It's not possible because the Yetzirah is not shaylet. It's the fakir from the Meshech Chachma that we spoke at on Sunday. The Meshech Chachma said, "Sak for the shasa riglo." You have to be more concerned than the Mokam HaMikdash, because then you don't have Torah Derech Eretz. But that's what he says, it's not possible. So why was it then that the Kohen wouldn't look this woman in the eye directly? Why was it they did it in this roundabout way? He says, it's very simple. Mipnei Amaratzim. He says, B'gashtel Tzachfar, you're an Amaretz, you bring a Kohen, you come to the Kohen, and the Kohen starts sizing up this woman. He's looking at her, looking at the forehead to see exactly what avera that he did. This Amaretz will never appreciate exactly what the Kohen is doing. In his mind, it's going to seem very odd, and it's Maris. For that reason, they did it in this sensitive way via the mirror, via the Maris HaTzoivis. But to do it directly, that's not something they would do. So we spoke out a few weeks ago, we had hashtag mirrors with regards to halacha of Leisilbash. So you have another halacha regarding mirrors. It's a halacha, it's more of a Machshava or the hair from Daria Kodesh that the Milchas Loza discusses here at the end of his tshuva. Just on the topic of the Maris HaTzoivis, and it's a little bit of a digression, but it relates very much to the halachas of Masechta Soita. It's a pasuk in the end of Parashas Vayakev. Vayasas Akir Nechoshes, Ve'eskanu Nechoshes, Be'maris HaTzoivis, Asher Tzovu Pesach HaYomoyed. So how did they make the kir? It was mirrors. Where did they get the mirrors from? Zok Rashi, it's a long Rashi. B'nois Yisrael hoyu b'yodem maris, Sheroi yois behen k'sheim eskatesh. The B'nois Yisrael, the women had mirrors, and they used to use the mirrors to make themselves look good. The Af Oison by Ikfum Lahavi Lanidvas Chamish says the Torah that the women were even willing to give up their mirrors, not just the jewelry and the money, even their mirrors. But when Moshe got these donations, mirrors, he didn't want to use them. What are they used for? They used to make women look good. That's Yetzahara. That's not a good thing. So Hashem told Moshe, no, I want you to accept these mirrors. Ki elu chaviven olay min akoil. I appreciate these mirrors more than all the other things that people donated to me. Why? Because it was using these mirrors that Klal Yisrael procreated in the Mitzrayim. How so? When the men, the Yidden, were out doing paris of avodas parech, the women would come to their husbands and they would bring them Michael and Mishta, they would give them to eat. Then they would take the mirror and they would put the mirror behind their husbands. The man would look up and he would, in the mirror, he would see himself together with his wife. And she would use this image of the two of them in the mirror to be ma'orer him to taiva. And they would be nizdavik together. That's why it was called Tzoivos, Miloshin Tzoivos, because that's where Klal Yisrael came from. So Hashem said, I love the mirrors. No, Moshe, you're being Moshe in the mirrors. To the contrary, Klal Yisrael came about because of these Maris HaTzoivos. Not only should you accept them, but the Loshin of Rashi is Chaviven Olayim and Akoil. I appreciate it more than anything else that was given. So where's the punchline? The punchline is Benasa Akir Mehem. You know what they used the Maris HaTzoivos for? The Kir. Why the Kir? Because when the Soita came into the Malkum HaMikdash, and we weren't sure whether she's Mutta Levaila or whether she's also Levaila, she drank from the Mei Soita. And where did the Mei Soita come from? It came from the Kir. Zok Rashi, Benasa Akir Mehem, Shehulosum Shalom Bein Ish Le Ishtoi, Lahashkois Mimayim Shebetoicha Lemishakina Labaila. Love in Israel. That's the reason that it was Dafka the Kiyar that was used.